Hello, everyone, and welcome into this episode of the Bear Down Buzz podcast. Once again, as usual, myself, Eli, joined by Joe and Isaac. And gentlemen, the Super Bowl that no one kind of saw coming, I guess is the way to put it, a total blowout in favor of the Philadelphia Eagles. And it was just start to finish, you know, up there until the end when there was a lot of stat padding and everything like that for Kansas City. But we'll start there. Isaac, I'll start with you. What were your overall thoughts on the Philadelphia Eagles taking home the Lombardi Trophy this year against the two in a row champs in Kansas City?
Looking at it from a Bears fan perspective, I really want to emphasize that I think the trenches won the Super Bowl for the Eagles because we're kind of on the same boat, I feel like, with Jalen Hurts. I don't think he's an elite quarterback, like, on the same tier as Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, but I do think that he has such a good supporting cast around him that the Eagles made it easy for him during the Super Bowl. And my gosh, like, watching that Eagles defensive line just completely take Mahomes and shred him to pieces that game, that was crazy to see because I haven't seen really many games where Mahomes looks like he's flustered and he doesn't know what to do with the ball. So credit to that Eagles defensive line. And I'm really happy that Vic Fangio won the Super Bowl. I was rooting for him. So it was a combination of that. I'm a big Saquon Barkley guy, so watching him win the Super Bowl and me not liking the Chiefs that much. So, but I mean, the defensive line of the Eagles was amazing. The offensive line of the Eagles was also really good. I was hoping to see maybe a better performance from Mekhi Becton because he's a upcoming free agent that the Bears could possibly target. He did get injured during the game and then he came back. So I know Bears fans are going to be kind of pointing towards that and say, like, oh, why would we let Tevin Jenkins leave and bring in a guy that has kind of that similar history where he's not always been 100% on the field? But just to see the defensive line, offensive line of the Eagles really have a good showing. And the only thing is I wish the game was a little bit more competitive. I kind of was like zoning out in the second half because the Eagles pretty much already won. So those are my main takeaways. Joe, did you have any thoughts from this Eagles Super Bowl victory?
I have a couple things. First of all, I'm not putting the guy on blast or anything, but I listened to him all week praise the Chiefs, and which got in my head, and I was like, okay, the Chiefs are going to win this game. I completely and utterly believed that Chiefs were going to win, not only because they have Patrick Mahomes, but because their head coach is the better head coach. Was going into the game the better head coach. Obviously, they didn't win. I still think Andy Reid is the better head coach, but Nick Sirianni definitely showed that he's top tier head coach winning that game. But yeah, I was just surprised how bad the Chiefs O-line looked. I mean, we knew they weren't great going into the game. Like, this year they weren't really that good, but when they put Joe Tooney at left tackle, they became a better O-line. Now, I was a little bit afraid of what would happen inside with Jalen Carter if Tooney was at left guard on Sunday night. And we saw what happened. Their interior offensive line, the interior defensive line smashed the interior of the Chiefs defensive line. But also, Tooney didn't look good on the edge against Josh Sweat, who had 2.5 sacks. Even Brandon Graham played pretty well. So, like, yeah. Isaac is right. The trenches really showed out in that game. I'm also the two players that I'm most happy for on the Eagles are, like you said, Saquon Barkley. And then I also love Cooper Dejean because I'm a big Iowa guy. So seeing him get a pick six, especially on his birthday, that was his first interception in the NFL. Pretty cool to see. We went crazy in the We went crazy watching the game, me and my father. But my father really did, because I was upset when it happened because I obviously wanted the Chiefs to win. But afterwards, I was like, oh, that was actually a pretty cool moment. But yeah, the last time the Chiefs were really dominated like that was when they played the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl in 2020. But so I think I would guess that the Chiefs are going to try their best to rebuild their offensive line for the draft this year, just because They don't really have any other choice. They can't really go out and sign people because they don't really have a lot of money. But yeah, as the trenches won that day. I can't believe the Chiefs got blown out and didn't score until 5 minutes left to go in the second or third quarter. I thought it would be a close game, and I thought it maybe be a 7 point game going in the fourth quarter, and Mahomes doesn't lose close games, so that's why I thought they'd win, but obviously that didn't happen. So I'm just very surprised at the outcome of the game. But I'll pass it over to you, Eli. What were your thoughts on the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, I was kind of the same way, Joe. The Mahomes factor was the main thing for me, and Andy Reid is just a great head coach. So it was just, I wanted to pick the Eagles so bad the whole time in the weeks leading up. But again, that whole Mahomes factor got into my head as well, because I knew that the Eagles had the better overall roster. I just thought it was a matter of experience. That Eagles team has been there before also with Jalen Hurts, but happy for them to get that redemption factor. And I think most people were pulling for Philadelphia to end the hopes of a three-peat for Kansas City. It is a scary idea thinking about this Philadelphia team too, because this isn't a team that is aging. It's not the Rams team where it had all the veterans and they were pushing for a championship. This is a young Philadelphia Eagles team, and every year they only get better. Howie Roseman is a great GM, knows how to manipulate the cap. It seems like a quality player always falls to them in the draft every year. There's the rumors of Abdul Carter potentially getting to be a Philadelphia Eagle. That's not going to happen by any means this season, but a lot of people are speculating that when his contract is up with whatever team it does get drafted to, he'll be an Eagle. So, it's good over there in Philly land for sure right now. So, props to him. I think that is going to be the team to beat in the NFC for a while. Teams like Detroit, and I'm sure San Francisco will get back in that conversation here pretty soon. But yeah, Philadelphia just impressive in all fronts, and it doesn't seem like they're going to go away anytime soon. But you guys did mention several free agents on this Eagles team that they might lose this season, which kind of ties in pretty well as the Kansas City conversation on the offensive line. And I'll start there before we kind of get into the brunt of our conversation. Joe, you mentioned it. Trey Smith, he didn't have, I'd say he probably played the best out of any of their linemen in that game, but he did struggle a bit, as well as you mentioned Isaac Mekhi-Becton. But we'll start with those two. Do you think after this game, does your outlook on either of those free agents kind of change your perspective on whether the Bears should sign them? And again, Joe, your thoughts on that first.
I mean, no. Like you said, Trey Smith played the best out of anyone on their own line. Jalen Carter is a beast. I mean, he's wrecked a lot of games this year, and Trey Smith did a pretty good job of keeping him at bay. I mean, he still got home a couple of times, but Trey Smith did a really good job of keeping him at bay, like I said. And then Mekhi-Becton, I don't know. I kind of have been letting Isaac talk me into Mekhi-Becton before he even mentioned his name. I was like, I don't really know. Like, I knew that when he was in New York, he had that injury history, and whoever goes to Philly, they're just gonna play well. They have great coaching, even if we didn't know anything of, like if even if we didn't believe that Nick Sirianni was a good head coach this year, like going into the year, we knew at least they had a good O-line coach with all the talent, with all the late round talent they've developed, and also the Hall of Fame center that retired last year, and Jason Kelce. So I'm not surprised Mekhi-Becton played really well with the Eagles this year, and I would be afraid that if we signed him, he would get hurt again because we just don't have good luck with that kind of stuff. But I don't think his performance it would have deterred if I wanted to sign him. I don't think his performance on Sunday night would have deterred me from signing him. But also, he may not end up hitting free agency. We're assuming he will, but Philly could also decide to keep him. But yeah, how about you, Isaac? Do either of the, you, does, did either Trey Smith's performance or Mekhi-Becton's performance deter you away from wanting to sign them this offseason?
No, definitely not. I don't think one game is gonna change my mind on either of them. Now, the nice thing is that the Bears need a right guard. They both play right guard, but there are so many other high profile free agent right guards out there. There's Will Fries. There's who else was there? Gosh, they're like all slipping my mind. But anyways, for Trey Smith, he is one of the top free agents, no matter what. Like you guys said, he was probably the best player on that Chiefs offensive line. And so if the Bears really want to invest in right guard, then go ahead. Trey Smith is the number one option. And as for Mekhi Becton, I'm gonna be completely honest. Like, this is, I agree with Joe on everything he said. You know, the Eagles have the best offensive line coach in the NFL and Jeff Stoutland. So having Mekhi Becton come over from the Jets, and you know, he wasn't really the best player. I guess he was kind of labeled as a bust before going to Philadelphia, and the Eagles looked at him and said, "You know what? We think you'll be better as a guard. We'll switch you over. We'll see how that works." And that actually worked out really well for him, even though he's 6'7", 363 pounds. So I do agree with Joe. I have my concerns because the Bears, they just don't have a good history of keeping players healthy and on the field. So there is that possibility where if the Bears sign Mekhi Becton, he comes in, he plays right guard. Maybe he doesn't fully play a lot of doesn't play a lot of games, and a lot of fans get upset. Like, we had this with Tevin Jenkins. We've been through this. Like, why did we do it again? So for my thing with Mekhi Becton, it's like he's kind of a fallback option if we don't sign Trey Smith, and I wouldn't sign him over market value. Like, if we could get him for a decent price, and I'm all for it. But I like everyone else, I do have my concerns with him because he just hasn't had that history of consistency on the field. So, but you know, either way, I think their performance in the Super Bowl doesn't deter me from wanting to sign them. I would love to have either one of them on the team. So, Eli, what are your thoughts on Trey Smith and Mekhi Becton? Did their performance during the Super Bowl kind of deter you from not wanting to sign them, or you know, are you still on board with either one?
Yeah, so I agree with you guys completely. I think you can't take it at a one game value kind of thing. Obviously, I think Becton would be the cheaper option again if he were to hit free agency, because you nailed it on the head, Joe. All indications to me, at least, it seems like the guy just got settled in Philadelphia, and he just, you know, this is the first successful year he's had, I would say, in the NFL, and he just won a Super Bowl. So I if I were him personally, you know, why would I go anywhere else? This is, as I mentioned, the team to beat right now, and he was a big part of that this season. So I would anticipate that, you know, I don't know the guy. I don't know where his priorities lie, whether he wants to get a big paycheck after a good year in free agency. But as for Trey Smith, you know, that's a guy that's going to probably reset the guard market, rightfully so, because most of the year he was an excellent guard for that team. So I agree with you guys. I don't think the performance in the Super Bowl from either one of them kind of swayed me one bit. I could see, you know, I really do see the Bears really heavily going after Trey Smith at free agency, but I wouldn't be upset at either option. Some other guards that you were kind of mentioning, Isaac, Zach Martin, Brandon Scherff, you know, a re James Daniels reunion perhaps on the table, Kevin Zeitler, as well as a bunch of other guys that the Bears could consider in free agency. But on that topic, another, we won't get too much into this, just briefly mentioning it. Josh Sweat obviously is a guy that the Bears could look at in free agency, depending where their priorities lie, on either side of the trenches. But free agency wise, the Bears, you know, the obvious move that we've all talked about are the trenches, offensive line, defensive line. But there are some positions on this team that I think the Bears could address. I'll kind of start it off first. I think personally, the Bears will probably take another swing at the tight end position in free agency this year. You know, it seemed like a no-brainer move at the time, signing Gerald Everett. You know, I was kind of stoked for that move. I thought he'd be a good addition to this team. And you know, Shane Waldron just threw everything off track. I think it would have been a good move if we had any other offensive coordinator. Now, I'm not saying Gerald Everett's some all-pro guy and he's a top-of-the-line tight end, but I did think he could have fit well in this system. So I think they'll at least look at the names in free agency. There aren't a lot of great quality tight end agents, free agents rather, this offseason. You know, I think the main one to me looking at this is probably Mike Gesicki, and I don't know how Cincinnati feels about him. You know, I know they want to keep their offensive core intact. I don't know if he's a large part of that or not. To me, he's probably the top target. Other guys like Tyler Conklin, Austin Hooper, Jordan Akins, CJ Uzomah. Like I said, it's not a strong list, but that is where my head is at, position wise. And I've got some more, but I'll toss it to you, Joe. What do you think is a position that the Bears might address that some people aren't thinking about in free agency?
I don't know if I wouldn't say people aren't thinking about the position, because everyone is aware that there's probably in their third receiver. But I'm gonna just bring up a couple names that people might not be thinking about because, you know, they haven't really done much in the NFL, or they don't think the Bears would go sign them. But I think they fit pretty well because they're speedy guys, and the Bears need a speed. If they're not going to use Tyler Scott, who's a speedy guy, I think, not I think, but Ben Jensen's going to want to sign a speedy guy. The two guys that I found real quickly were Rondale Moore, who used to play or used to be on the, well, not you, he was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals for his speed and gadget ability. He spent his first two seasons in Arizona. And he didn't play particularly well. He also has kind of an injury history, but he the first two seasons in Arizona, he had 435 yards receiving and 414 yards receiving, along with 76 yards rushing and a negative 5 yards rushing. So the negative 5 yards, you know, you could throw that away, but the 76 yards, that's pretty good. That's decent enough for a receiver. And we know Ben Johnson likes to do his trick plays with runnings and passing with the receivers. So he could definitely use Rondale Moore in that kind of sense. And I guarantee you, Moore's not going to be, you know, a super expensive receiver to sign if the Bears wanted to sign him. And Antoine Randle-El could probably get more out of him. Like, I'm not going to compare him to Jameson Williams, because Jameson Williams was a first round pick. But Antoine Randle-El was able to, you know, help develop Jameson Williams over the last year. And we saw that really blossom into a 1,000-yard receiver. I'm not saying that the number three receiver Rondale Moore would get 1,000 yards, but maybe he could get, you know, 700. And Antoine Randle-El could be a big part of that. Another option would be Tutu Atwell, who we saw this year as the number one receiver in LA for the Rams for the first about month and a half of the season, while Cooper Kupp and I can't think of his name. The other I can well Puka Nacua. Well, Kupp and Nacua were both hurt. We saw Tutu Atwell become the number one receiver. But he's more of the speedy deep threat guy. He had did a little bit more of the underneath stuff because he needed to, but his game is the deep ball. And going deep. So I can also see the Bears going after him. The last, throughout his career, his best season was actually this past season, because obviously he got the more targets. He got 500, he recorded 562 yards receiving this year and zero touchdowns. So yeah, I would say those two guys are under the radar guys that the Bears could look into signing. Not saying they will sign them, but those are two options out there. Isaac, who are your under the radar positions and guys that the Bears can sign this offseason?
So I'll focus on one position, and the thing is with safety, we have Kevin Byard and Jaquan Brisker, which they're both really good safeties. So I'm not knocking them on that. But for Kevin Byard, he's getting up there in age. He only has 1 year left on contract for the Bears, and then Jaquan Brisker, we all know his injury history with concussions, and I feel like bringing in a third safety that could be reliable for this team could make a huge difference. And so I have two names here, and I'll get into a little bit of why I like them. So first, it's the Colts safety, Julian Blackman. He was a 2020 third round pick out of the University of Utah. This season, he recorded 86 total tackles, a half sack, one fumble recovery, and three interceptions. I think he's been pretty underrated. I know the Colts have a pretty good secondary. They have Nick Cross. He always seems to get tackles on that team, Kenny Moore and stuff like that. But I'm not sure how the Colts feel about re-signing Julian Blackman. They might have, because the Colts have a lot of guys they need to re-sign this offseason. They have Will Fries. They have the pass rusher. His first name is Deo. I forgot his last name, but and Ryan Kelly too, that we'll probably talk about another episode, but I think Julian Blackman would be an awesome addition to this team. And the second safety that I wanted last free agency, and he is a free agent again this offseason, is Jeremy Chinn. And the reason why I want Jeremy Chinn is because he kind of plays that hybrid linebacker safety role. He did that in Carolina. I'm not sure if he did it a lot in Washington, but he is a little bit bigger. He's 6'3", 220 pounds, former second round pick when the Panthers drafted him in 2020. So same year Julian Blackman was drafted. But this year he had a career year. He had 117 total tackles. He had two sacks, an interception. He was a big part of that Commanders defense. And so I think for the Bears, because I look at every position that the Bears need, and I kind of determine like if I think they're going to end up addressing it via free agency or the draft. I think safety is definitely a position where it could go either way. But there are a lot of good, talented safeties out there in the free agent market. And I think if the Bears just do a little bit of research and find which one they like, then go ahead and try to go after him because you can't really rely on Brisker. So, but what you guys were mentioning, Eli, I think for the tight end position, I definitely think it's going to be more of a free agency thing for the Bears because we already have Cole Kmet. I'm not sure if the Bears are going to be able to get a high profile tight end in the draft because they have so many other needs that they can address. So I think guys like Gesicki and Tyler Coughlin would be pretty cool additions. Now, I don't know if the Bears plan on keeping Everett because a lot of people are saying, no, maybe we should cut Everett or just keep him. So we'll see how that goes. And then Joe, I love Rondale Moore. I think he was such a good player coming out of Purdue, and I really wanted the Bears to draft him. It kind of sucks to see that he got injured in Atlanta. So hopefully, I mean, if the Bears, they definitely need a speedster. So if we could sign him on a pretty cheap deal, I love to bring in him and Tutu Atwell as well. I feel like he hasn't had a lot of opportunities because the Rams always seem to have good receivers everywhere. It's not just Puka and Cooper; they also have Jordan Whittington. He was pretty good this season for them. So, I mean, the Bears have so much options. There's so many underrated players out there in free agency. So I can't wait to see what direction they go. And I'll toss it back to you, Eli.
Yeah, so before I get into my guys, Joe, Tutu Atwell, I think would be an outstanding move as well. I think, I have a buddy who's a big Rams fan, and he said, obviously they have Puka and Kupp, and he said, Atwell just started losing targets because they moved more of that run heavy offense. I think he'd be a quality addition. I think he would kind of fit that Mooney role that we had a few years back. I would have loved to keep Darnell Mooney. I don't think that Atwell is the same caliber of player as Mooney, but I think they have kind of a similar play style. So I would love the Atwell move. And Isaac, we were kind of on the same wavelength as safety. I love Jeremy Chinn. I think that's also a guy who I wanted a few years back. But I think a big name that's out there right now that probably a lot of people are talking about, but he was hurt this year and he was. I think he missed a game or two a year ago, but Talanoa Hufanga for the San Francisco 49ers is going to be a free agent this season. He plays strong safety, so it's a tough conversation to have with Jaquan Brisker. Maybe if you were to bring in a guy like Hufanga to be your long-term guy and let him and Brisker kind of battle it out. Brisker has the injury history. So if he doesn't perform this season, then you just let him walk and Hufanga's your long-term guy. And I've heard rumors, and I don't know if I necessarily agree with it, that maybe the Bears would consider moving Kyler Gordon to free safety and then drafting another nickel. And I agree. I think it's kind of an iffy move. It is kind of intriguing to me because I think give him a few games, I think Gordon could adjust and he's that free roam guy. But yeah, I disagree that it would be a good move. It's interesting to think about. But Hufanga, I think, is a guy that's kind of underrated in this league, maybe properly rated, more of a popular guy, but I think he's one of the better safeties in this league, and he'll probably get a good contract here in free agency. But I don't necessarily think the Bears would make that move, but I think he's a hell of a player, and I think we would be in good shape to have him. That being said, Isaac, did you have, we talked about this beforehand, underrated players that the Bears might consider signing this free agency? And you know, if that was the same people that you had in mind of what you just had, just let me know either way and we'll figure it out.
No, yeah, you're good. Definitely those two safeties I mentioned. And I do have one other person, because I love talking about offensive line. So I was looking, so my thought process before I get into this player is I think the Bears are gonna go through a couple steps because we have a lot of offensive linemen to address, like a lot of positions. So I think first it's center, like right away in free agency, we have to go after Drew Dahlman or Ryan Kelly because they're in my eyes, they're like the only two options I would be okay with because besides that, the center market's pretty thin. I kind of don't want to bring in another Coleman Shelton or someone like of that caliber. There's not a lot of high quality centers in the draft either. So I really hope that we go after one of those two guys. The next position obviously is going to be right guard. There's just so much talent. Like you mentioned, Eli, there's other guys besides Trey Smith and Mekhi Becton, like Will Fries and Brandon Scherff, Zach Martin, Kevin Zeitler. So if we could address that position, that'll be perfect. And then that basically leaves left guard because Darnell Wright, we're good. Right tackle's good. And then Braxton Jones, we could roll with him for another year. So left guard is kind of where I feel like the Bears are going to address at the very end of free agency where it's like, okay, let's see what's on the market. There are a lot of good options. I mean, we could just re-sign Tevin Jenkins if that's the case. There's also the Tampa Bay Buccaneers left guard, Bredesen, he's a pretty good player. I really like him. But the guy I want to focus on is San Francisco 49ers left guard Aaron Banks. Now, people that have been doing a little research on offensive linemen, they've looked at Aaron Banks. They kind of have their worries about him because he kind of is like Tevin Jenkins in the fact that he hasn't really played a full season yet. But I think for the right price, he would be an awesome addition. Now, this is why PFF. So I like PFF. I like their rankings. I kind of just go with them and then I do my own research as well. But PFF ranked him as the number 28 guard in 2024. He was one of the top run blockers. And then he does have room to grow as a pass protector. And then they said, according to PFF, they said Banks moves very well in the run, which is presumably what makes him the most attractive. One of the most attractive free agents, but he still has room to grow in the and pass protection. So SpotTrac projects a 3-year, $29.1 million contract. So that's 9.7 per year. That's around the same amount of money we paid Nate Davis back then. But I definitely don't think Aaron Banks is the same. He's not Nate Davis. He's not like a lazy player and stuff like that. He's only 28. He's 6'5". 325 pounds. So if you know the Bears get everything else addressed, if we find our center, we sign a right guard, I think looking at Aaron Banks would be a good idea. Now, I wouldn't overpay for someone like him because, like I mentioned earlier, he hasn't really played a full season, but he definitely has played more games than Tevin Jenkins. So he's someone that I would keep an eye on. But Joe, do you have any other kind of under the radar free agents that the Bears should sign?
I do not, but I do want to say that, I mean, I know you just listed off a bunch of players online that Bears should sign or could sign with agency. I know we've been talking about this a lot, but I don't necessarily think that you need to attack all three positions in free agency. You maybe attack center and left guard or two guards, probably center and left. Or sorry, center and right guard. Sign Trey Smith, center. But then draft a right guard, draft draft a center. I know you said there's not a lot of good centers. I don't know if the Bears are going to be able to do like have the ability to do this because he might be taken before the Bears can. But from everything that I've read and heard, Bears Able seems like a player that is as his stock rising. That's both a guard and a center hybrid. So if the Bears are able to draft him, I'd take care of if well as if he's not starting, it'll take care of two spots as a backup, but you would hope he starts somewhere, either center or guard. But like maybe the Bears do are doing well, not maybe. Hopefully the Bears are doing their due diligence on him. And if they are and they really like him, they'll do whatever they can get. Hopefully they do whatever they can to get him. And maybe they don't sign center in free agency then, but we'll see. I mean, I think everybody, all the Bears fans, every analyst, everybody's like, sign Trey Smith. I don't think, I think some people care about the money, but I think a lot of people are like, we need all pros on this team. We need elite level talent on this team. And if you can get Trey Smith, like we've talked about, you gotta do it. So, yeah, that's all I have to say. Pass it over to you, Eli. If you have anything else to say on the names Isaac brought up or anything else, go ahead.
Yeah, Isaac, I know you had something, so you can go ahead with your thoughts on what you
Yeah.
had.
I just want to say I definitely agree with Joe here. Like I don't think the Bears address all the positions on offensive line during free agency. It's just like there's so many different ways they can address it. Now, me personally, I think they definitely try to sign a center and a right guard in free agency, and then in the draft there's a lot of players that are tackles in college football, and they might get transitioned over to guard. So maybe the Bears take Will Campbell, or if they draft Kelvin Banks, maybe put them at left guard. And then for center, I was looking at Georgia center Jared Wilson. I think he would be a pretty good pick at maybe round 3 or round 5, where he could develop into the long-term starter at center. So, but I do think, you know, we don't, there's not really any centers that are plug and play ready in college right now coming into the draft. So, but yeah, I mean, hopefully the Bears at least sign two positions in free agency. I don't think they're gonna sign all three, but if they do go for left guard instead of right guard, I think Aaron Banks will be a good choice. So I'll toss it over to you, Eli.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think the best approach, you know, it's always been of the mindset that we can't fix everything in free agency or through the draft all at once. This is still a team that's got to address a few positions here and there. But we're in good shape to potentially put ourselves in better position to contend for this division and be a playoff team moving forward. Unless you guys have anything else. Free agency wise, we can get into our last topic before we get on out of here. So originally meant to mention this at first, but we were talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, and Adam Schefter came out and said that his best bet for the week one opener would be Chicago at Philly. So the Chicago Bears taking on the defending champs in Philadelphia. I'll give my thoughts first and then I'll toss it to Joe, and then you go ahead, Isaac. But I actually really like the decision, just for the simple fact that, you know, 2 years ago, Detroit was the team that was up on the rise. They took on Kansas City and took them down in Kansas City. I don't necessarily think the Bears are in the exact same position as Detroit was going into that year, but I do think it's in my opinion, a win-win, simply because if you can go into Philadelphia for your first game with Ben Johnson and take down the defending champions, that's going to send a message out to the league that, you know, this isn't the same old Bears anymore, and that we, you know, it's not an automatic bid to the Super Bowl if you beat Philadelphia week one, obviously, but it does put you, it gives you a lot of momentum, and it gives a lot of good messages to the locker room about where the state of your team is at under a new head coach. And on the flip side, if you lose, you know, either you get blown out or it's a close competitive game, it's the defending champions, and no one expected you to win anyway. That's where my thought process is. But Joe, I know we kind of talked about it beforehand, but what is your thought process on potentially facing Philadelphia week one to open the season up?
Yeah, I like the way you laid it out, but I'm like more against it just because, not to say that Brandon Johnson's not gonna have the Bears ready, but I believe it's gonna take the offense time, more, hopefully less time than it took them last year because they never really figured it out last year. But I think it's gonna take them at least the first couple weeks of the season to figure out how exactly to like get in sync with everything Ben Johnson's doing and Caleb Williams and the receivers. I just don't want to get blown out week one and be embarrassed on national TV because I just don't think the Bears have a chance. I think they'd get killed by the Eagles. I think it might be worse than the Super Bowl, which is crazy to say because the Super Bowl was pretty bad. I just wouldn't do it. I mean, they're probably gonna lose to the Philly anyways, but I don't want that to be our taste week one. On national TV, like sure, if you put them on national TV, week 8, week 12, whatever, later in the season, and it's a closer game, I'm fine with that. But I just don't think it's gonna be close in week one, and I don't want to be embarrassed on national TV because we were embarrassed enough last year on national TV. Even not on national TV, the stuff that happened got to national TV. So I'm good. Don't do that to us, please. Yeah, I'll pass it to you, Isaac. What are your thoughts on the Bears potentially playing in week one next year? On Thursday night in week one next year.
I like both your guys' perspectives. I think it's kind of weird because you guys are a little bit different stances, but I agree with both of you guys. Like, I mean, we play the Eagles anyways, so if we play them week one, then it is what it is. But I do agree with Joe. I feel like I am very optimistic in my team, but I am afraid that there's a chance the Eagles just blow us out and we get embarrassed again, and then everyone's, the same old Bears, like nothing's gonna change, stuff like that. Now, I do want to add a different point as well. I kind of want to see what the Bears do in free agency and NFL draft first, because maybe they have just a like amazing free agency and draft, and the Bears team looks stacked and we're all excited. Like, okay, maybe put them week one. Let's see, like, if it's just really good on paper, or if it's good on paper and on the field. And then if the Bears just completely whiff on free agents and they pulls just drafts like random, D3 or random players that we've never heard of before, then yeah, probably let's stay away from week one against the Eagles. Like, just give us some random team, because I mean, last season we played the Titans week one, and before the season started, we didn't think the Titans were going to be as bad as they were, but they also weren't like one of the top NFL teams coming in. And we kind of, we didn't, Caleb Williams had under 100 yards passing. So I do agree with Joe, but I feel like the Bears team needs time to learn the playbook, learn how to play with one another, because it's going to be a way different looking team compared to last season. So if I had the choice, I would probably lean towards let's not play the Eagles week one. But at the same time, I don't think I would be super, infuriated that, oh, the Bears have to play the Eagles week one. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'll toss it back to you, Eli.
Yeah. So my final thing, you guys mentioned that the Bears are going to need time to adjust and learn the new playbook and learn the new system and everything. A friend of mine that's also an Eagles fan brought it up to me when we were talking about this. They just lost Kellen Moore to the Saints, to be their new head coach. So this will be Jalen Hurts's fourth or fifth offensive coordinator in the last 4 or 5 years. Now, I don't think the playbook will change all that much, but it's not a straight transition period to where the Eagles are just going to come firing out right away in week one. Now, I do think they're still going to be great on offense, but another thing that, if you remember throughout the year, that Eagles offense struggled a little bit in the first half of the year, and they finally kind of kicked things into gear at the, midway point of the season, I would say. It takes every team some time to kind of get the gears turning on offense. So for that reason, I think the Bears and Eagles are somewhat equal when it comes to just being prepared for week one. Now, obviously, I'm going to give the edge to Philadelphia. I think we all agree on that. And they probably will win that matchup. But I would rather faced them in week one, for them being a notorious team for kind of starting slow and then ramping up near the end of the year. I would rather face this Philadelphia team and lose in week one rather than get them at their best, as you kind of mentioned, in a week 10 or 12 or 13 game. I think, at the very least, just get that one out of the way, because by all indications, it's going to be a tough schedule no matter what. So get the Super Bowl defending champs out of your schedule right off the bat. That's the way I look at it. But did you guys have anything else to mention regarding this matchup or free agency pickups for the Bears in general? All right, so I think that is going to do it for this episode of the Bear Down Buzz podcast. As always, be sure to go like our TikToks, YouTube Reels, everything, everywhere we are. Go like our content, view us. We greatly appreciate all the viewership and everything like that. Also, be sure to go check these guys' content out. I know Joe writes for, what, about 10 teams now? So he's got a lot of content out there. Isaac's doing a great job with free agency writings about the Bears and everything like that. So a lot of content out there to be had from these guys, as well as our main podcast here. So with that being said, this has been the Bear Down Buzz podcast, and we will see you next week.